like to welcome you again to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
It's good to be back, Marty, for another session here. We'll talk about George Mueller here.
Well, Bill, this is our fifth in the series on the life of George Mueller. And just to real briefly give a little review, the first four, you know, we showed in the beginning how the Lord's mercy reached George Mueller when he was young and pretty wicked, and how the Lord brought him to himself in salvation through a friend in a home. That was a very touching testimony. Then secondly, we got into see what kind of life, a new life that George Mueller began to live by, and the joy and the peace that he experienced, his hunger for the word, his love for the brothers, and even the separation that began to take place and the consecration that George began to experience. Then in the third session, we covered the matter of George learning to pray and how he prayed for the fruit bearing and for the Spirit's blessing and the growth of the saints around him. And of course, then the fourth session, last time we got together, Bill, if you recall, we got into what was George's strength? Where was his source of supply? And we found that he was one who was really in the Word, in the Bible. He read the Bible frequently, maybe a couple times at least every year. He studied the Word. He kept it as his standard. And then finally, he really mingled the Word with his prayer, especially in the mornings. And so we can really see the life that our brother lived, and then the service that he began to exhibit in his Christian life. And so today we come to the fifth in this series, and the last one we'll cover, and a very important topic, Bill. It's on the matter of the recovery of living by faith.
That's very good, Marty. I appreciate your review there. No doubt George Mueller was a very, very godly man. Like when Paul wrote to Timothy, "O man of God." Of course, he had a rough beginning, but that it shows us God's grace, even on a person like George Mueller, who was very sinful, but very wicked. He did a lot of evil things. He wasn't raised, you know. Even though he was raised by fairly godly parents, that his life really verged on one of a reprobate. But the Lord really came in and saved him, transformed him, and most of his life was spent as a real testimony of God's grace in a fallen sinner. And especially you mentioned this matter of living by faith. He was really a pioneer. He pioneered this matter. Of course, there were a few brothers before him, and we'll get into that a little later in the program. But I would say, by and large, probably George Mueller is the one who really pioneered living by faith in a thorough way, not just in a few of his years, but he spent 60 years, right, 60 years,
right,
living by faith, practicing this matter of living by faith, especially as involved with that orphanage. So he's a real pattern to us.
Well, I think it's good to note here, Bill, in the beginning of our program, Brother Witness Lee mentioned one time that when we study biographies or histories, we're not seeking to duplicate or reproduce these ones according to some outward manifestation, but rather we're really seeking to find the way that the Lord worked in them and how his life was mingled with them, and then how it was applied to them in their circumstance and in their burden and their service. And I think you really see this in the life of George Mueller. Eventually, he was one who really practiced coming to the Lord in the way of trusting in God with singleness of heart. And he realized, as a believer, we cannot serve two masters. And he followed the Lord the way the Lord took in his dependence upon the Father. And this, of course, was the way the apostles took. When they traveled around, they had to depend upon the Lord for their necessities while they were out proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom city by city. So George really took this same way. Of course, we know in history, in church history, this way was not necessarily continued over time, but was actually lost. And that's why we talk about the recovery of living by faith. And Brother Witness Lee mentioned that this matter, the recovery of living by faith, was wholly centered on George Mueller and his testimony, and really showed us that God answers prayer even in the most practical matters of our finances. So this kind of learning that George had, that we should follow in this according to his pattern, that we should not trust in money but trust in God in all our living and our service.
It's interesting, like you mentioned, Marty, that Brother Lee uses this word, the recovery of living by faith. And as you mentioned, throughout church history, even the early church, they tried it for a while. It failed. Then in the 16th century, Luther embarked upon this kind of practice, not very thoroughly. Then after him, the Moravian Brethren in the 1700s there in Moravia, in Germany, they got into this a little bit more. And then George Mueller really developed this thing and made it a center. He really recovered in a full way. Both he and, you know, John Nelson Darby, they were contemporaries, lived together at the same time. But I think, no doubt, George Mueller was the one who was focused and centered on this matter of the recovery of living by faith more than anyone else. So you could see here God's answer to prayer in the practical matter of finances. This was a real major recovery of living by faith. And even this matter was taken up by George even at a young man.
Right.
You know, of course, he was saved as a young man. And then at a particular time in his life, of course, he was receiving money from his father, obviously to bring him through school. And he wanted to, he felt led by the Lord after his salvation to do missionary work. And right away, the Lord led him to talk to his father that George, he would not desire, you know, to be supported financially by his father, but to live by faith. And this was a big step at that point, at that time, you know, in his life there in Bristol and in this area of England. So he really came to know that his Heavenly Father was a faithful provider.
Well, George learned this at a young age. Like you say, he was in the university when he first began to take this way, and he told his father that he no longer needed his support. And George began to live in this way. And one of the first experiences he had was he took advantage of 2 months of free housing that was available for the poor divinity students. And he found out the place where he was staying was actually a large house. It was a former orphanage, which was built years ago by a brother named A.H. Franca. And he had been a godly professor of divinity at Halle approximately 100 years earlier. And this brother Franca, you know, he was very concerned about the many street children that were growing up around him in ignorance and in crime during his time. So back in 1695, this brother Franca, he started a one room. He called it a ragged school.
Yeah.
And he brought together some of these orphan children, and he fed them, clothed them, and educated them. And the number apparently just grew to the hundreds. And Franca did this kind of work by trusting in God for all their needs. And this testimony really impressed George Mueller when he was young and living in this house. And of course, later on, he got to read Franca's biography.
Right.
And he was so impressed. And later on, George Mueller said that he felt so indebted to the example of the simple trust in prayer and trusting in God exhibited by this brother Franca. So it's so good to consider those who have gone before us, and their testimony can have a real benefit to us in our living and in our service.
Really so, Marty. He really got help from Franca. Another brother at this time who was very deep in the Lord by the name of Anthony Norris Groves. Of course, Groves was instrumental in being one of the first of the eventual Plymouth Brethren raised up in the 1820s in England. But Groves was really interested in the mission field work. And George Mueller heard about Groves And Groves was at that time considered like maybe one of the fathers of faith missions. So, George, he heard of, this man Groves and got to meet him and was very, very touched by Groves, his way of life, living by faith and so on. Eventually, George got to know Groves very, very well and even married his sister. So that was something, Mary Groves, who proved to be a very, very dear and helpful counterpart to George Mueller. At this time, too, George began to serve in the ministry, and then he moved to this small town in England called Teignmouth. And then, of course, he worked with the congregation. He made it very clear to them that I wonder if they were somewhat shocked that he said, "I don't want a salary." Of course, that may have been shocking at that time. Like, what is this? How are you gonna make a living if you don't get paid?
Right.
But George was emphatic. He would, before the Lord and the Word of God, he saw nothing in the Scriptures concerning any kind of paid clergy. So he did not accept a salary, and he was just willing to subject all customs and practices to the test of the word. If we're in the word of God, he would practice it. If there were no record of any paid clergy in the word of God, he would absolutely not do it. So this was also quite, he was quite unswerving in his feeling to stay with the word of God and that he would minister the word without any kind of compensation. And then he really practices the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this matter of the salaries had a, George was really troubled by this. And like you say, he wanted to live according to his conscience and be guided by his understanding of the word. And at that time, I think, Bill, these salaries were somewhat related to the fixed pew rents that people would pay to rent a place in the chapel or in the church building.
Right. Like you say, Marty, no doubt at this time, if you could afford to rent a pew, you were probably somewhat well off. And you could imagine the discord it could cause if one person is, renting a pew and then you don't have enough money. And no doubt George was bothered by this.
Yeah, he felt this was really brought in some class distinction between the rich and the poor members of a congregation. And he felt like he didn't feel the salaries of ministers should be tied to this.
Right.
And he was also concerned that ministers being on a fixed salary, it could become a cause of compromise, that the brothers may be intimidated to speak the truth freely. And to those who were paying his salary, they might be a little bit intimidated to speak as they ought to speak.
Right.
So he concluded that he would only accept voluntary designated offerings. And from that time, he was determined not to ask help from any man, even in the matter of his travels, as he did while he was beginning his service to the Lord at that time.
Yeah, Marty, concerning his wife, of course, that no doubt was a real test for him, but the Lord provided this Mary Groves, Anthony Norris Groves' sister, and she was a real match for him, not just in their service, in their vision, but also in their consecration. They both had a mind and heart to serve and live by faith in God's provision. She was not a sister that would say, no, I'm not going to live this way in poverty. She was willing to go that same way, to live a life of absolute, dependence on the Lord. And then eventually both he and his wife could testify, "Not once," he said, "have we or the orphans gone hungry or lacked any good thing." That was quite a testimony.
Yeah, they had an experience right from the time they were married. They took the Lord's word, like in Luke 12:33, to sell all their possessions and give alms. And they just determined not to store up any money for any future need or any crisis or illness that would come about, but they would really depend on the Lord for all their necessities, all their living, and all their service. So it was really key that he would find such a like-minded wife. Now, of course, George's main work, main service revolved around the orphanages there in Bristol,
right,
England. I think you mentioned,
right,
Bill, that you had opportunity to go there and visit. And maybe you could comment on that book. There's a a book called A Narrative of Some of the Lord's Dealings with George Mueller, which records all these prayer requests and all the accountings of all the meticulous records of all the aspects of the orphan work. You saw that there in Bristol, did you not?
Yeah, right. A number of years ago, Marty, a number of us were able to go on, I guess you could call it a Christian heritage tour around Europe. And when we got to England, we wanted to go to Bristol to take a look at Mueller's house, his orphanage, his study. And that was, I can still remember going there. It was marvelous. You couldn't believe, we actually looked at the very books, accounting books, where he would keep meticulous records of each orphan and their age, how they're doing and so on, the monetary supplies that would come in to take care of their needs. It was amazing. Of course, that was his great work. And eventually, over 2,000 orphans were housed, they were fed, they were clothed, and they were even educated by year by year by him. And of course, this work, he supervised for over 60
yes.
years. So just to see his, if you get a chance, or if any of our readers get a chance to go to Bristol, England, they have to go to George Mueller's home, his museum there, and an orphanage there, to witness, firsthand what marvelous work the Lord did through George Mueller in those 60 years. It is well worth seeing.
Yeah, in his book, The Narratives, of course, he gives many remarks, and I'd like to read just one, Bill. He said, "Every shilling of the money and all the articles of clothing and all the furniture and all the things that were recorded throughout the pages of his records," he said, "they were all given to him without one single individual having been asked for by him for anything. And this was really their testimony. He wanted this testimony to be made known that the Lord was a prayer-hearing God and they could depend on him and didn't need to seek any patronage for the world from the world. You know, they operated by these basic principles. They would not accept any monetary help, especially from the unbelievers.
Yeah, right, especially unbelievers.
They would not go into any debt, and they wouldn't measure their success by any financial means. And they wouldn't compromise the truth that would in any way impair the Lord's testimony. And it's also notable, they wouldn't look to any person, especially any wealthy person, but they would only look to the Lord and his riches to provide for them and all their needs.
They really trusted Marty in the Lord, I mean, in a marvelous way. They were totally, he and his wife, totally abiding in faith and prayer with the other, laborers there at the orphanage. And no doubt they did not have an easy time. All kinds of things could happen. One time the boiler in one of the orphan houses developed a leak, and that in the wintertime, and they just miraculously prayed and asked for a warm period of time to come in, and it came in unexpectedly. And then also during the time, the workmen were willing to do extra work, which was unheard of at that time. So they were able to repair that boiler in the wintertime and to keep the children warm. It was amazing that they would pray for these kind of things, and the Lord would actually answer their prayer and take care of that orphanage. They had all kinds of, transactions where at the last minute funds would come in. They wouldn't let anybody know about how dire they were in their straits, but they would have these events happen at the last minute where funds would come in and provide maybe for a meal that very day or for the meal for the next day. It was just amazing how the Lord answered their prayers.
Yeah, they passed through many periods of trial, and sometimes they were reduced to, say, a single pound or sometimes next to nothing left, and they didn't know where even the supply for their next meal would come. Of course,
right.
These were not just facts, but they have some very touching stories and accounts. I recall reading one where a brother just came to visit George Mueller and was staying at his home one night, and the next morning they had breakfast together, and this brother had no idea There was no appearance given of any particular need. And when the brother was leaving, he left a little donation with George Mueller. And he had no concept of what the present state of affairs were in the orphanage. But, of course, George, he liked to keep these things hidden. And sometimes people wouldn't even know what condition they were in till maybe a couple years later. And so in this particular case, it wasn't until 2 years later that an entry was found in the annual report saying that the money provided by that guest that night provided exactly what they needed to purchase their very next meal. So George testified, you know, he said he could not describe the joy he had when he would receive a donation. It wasn't the money itself, but he was just so touched that the Lord heard their prayers and would supply them just in such a timely manner.
Right. Of course, at one point too, there was an outbreak of measles, and it was spreading throughout those orphans. And then, of course, they prayed desperately, you know, because the sick rooms were filling up. And then the Lord just graciously listened to their supplications. But not one of those children died of measles. And there were no long-term complications of having measles in the youth there of those orphans. So the Lord miraculously listened to those prayers also. One thing, too, that's quite good, Marty, is that it was not just a matter of 60 years of George Mueller in the orphanage, but they not only cared for the physical and material, you know, matters of those orphans, they were also concerned about their spiritual life. And many, many conversions of those children to the Lord, even at a young age, they realized this. Many, probably hundreds, or we don't know, maybe thousands, were brought to salvation during that time in the orphanage. So they were very, very encouraged that they could work on those young vessels, those young children, and bring them to Christ at such a young age.
Well, George testified that he would pray for matters both great and small. And, you know, sometimes it was for the next meal. Sometimes, like you say, it was for the health and well-being of the children. Other times it was for their conversion. But George also had a large heart, and he was really burdened not only for the work that he was involved with, but he was burdened to support those serving the Lord on the mission field. And so he testified, he said, "It was my earnest desire to do all I could in sending help to the needy laborers in the gospel." So one time he was working on estimating what he felt was the need at that particular time out on the mission field. He came up with 476 pounds was needed, but he only had 280. And he just wrote a check for the amount he had. And then that evening, he just, as was his habit, he prayed and for all the various matters at hand, including his desire to support the missionaries. And he asked the Lord that he would give him more funds for these missionaries. And that night when he went home, he found that he received two gifts, about 100 pounds designated for the missions and 100 pounds left for at his disposal to use as he felt was needed. So the 200 pounds needed to come up with what he had estimated for the need among the missionaries out in the field. So this was just another example of an answer to prayer. You know, Bill, when you consider all these things, it's just not, you can't put all these answers and say that this just accidentally happened or these circumstances just happened to come together. This was definitely the Lord's hearing of their prayer and answering their prayers for this. Of course, this gladdened their own hearts, and it also gladdened the hearts of all the Lord's servants who were out in the field serving in China and in other countries at that time.
Right. I think we could say, Marty, right, that George Mueller, the brother George Mueller, he did not intend for us to follow him in the same work. Because from the history, little history I know, one of his relatives, I think, continued that work and that orphanage work by one of his relatives after George passed away was not successful at all. So you just can't imitate something. So George never intended for us to follow him in the same work, but we can follow the inner principles of life by which he lived. And I think that's a lesson we all have to learn.
Right. I think, of course, George Mueller had effect or impact on others, and one in particular, which we'll study later, was a brother, Hudson Taylor. And, of course, he didn't do exactly the same kind of work that George Mueller did, like you mentioned. He didn't follow in the same outward way, but he took the same inner principles of life. And Hudson Taylor, like George Mueller, said he wouldn't depend on any mission board or any human methods to support his gospel work in China. He said he did not do anything by asking for donations, but he relied solely upon the Lord's mercy. So I think there's many testimonies like this, and I think even today we ourselves can also be such learners who come to the Lord in trusting prayer for our needs and find out that, you know, there's one verse that says, those who trust him wholly find him wholly true. I think that's such a wonderful statement and wonderful verse that we can trust in the Lord in the same way. And I'm just thankful for the testimony of our brother. It was a real joy considering him over these five sessions, Bill.
Right. Very good.
All right, Bill, I think we'll conclude here. And I, again, appreciate the time together. And I think next time we're going to go back a little bit in history and see something about during the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages, how brothers stood faithful for the Lord to begin to stand in the middle of a mixed situation or environment, to stand with the Lord for the truth and shine as luminaries in the world. So next time we're going to talk about our brother John Wycliffe. So we'll continue next time together. Bill, thanks a lot.